Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life, Texts 25 and 26. I'll just read text 25, there's no purport there. Eshu snanam japo homo vratam deva dvijarchanam pitri deva nribhutebhyo yad dattam tadhyanashvaram. During these periods of seasonal change, if one bathes in the Ganges, in the Yamuna, or in another sacred place, if one chants, offers fire sacrifices, or executes vows, or if one worships the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the forefathers, the demigods, and the living entities in general, whatever he gives in charity yields a permanently beneficial result. Text 26. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King Yudhishthir, at the time prescribed for reformatory ritualistic ceremonies for one's self, one's wife, or one's children, or during funeral ceremonies and annual death ceremonies, one must perform the auspicious ceremonies mentioned above in order to flourish in fruitive activities. Purport. The Vedas recommend many ritualistic ceremonies to be performed with one's wife, on the birthdays of one's children, or during funeral ceremonies. And there are also personal reformatory methods like initiation. These must be observed according to time and circumstances and the directions of the Shastra. Bhagavad Gita strongly recommends Gyatva Shastra Vidhanoktam. Everything must be performed as indicated in the Shastras. For Kali Yuga, the Shastras enjoin that Sankirtan Yajna be performed always. Kirtaniya Sada Harihi. All the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Shastras must be preceded and followed by Sankirtana. This is the recommendation of Srila Jiva Goswami. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Srila Narad Muni is continuing with the description of the duties in ideal family life. Having spoken about the ceremonies that are performed for the departed forefathers, the Shraddha ceremony, now he mentions that all such ritualistic activities should be performed according to time, place and circumstance. There is consideration of auspicious and inauspicious, of muhurta, of the proper time to do certain things and the proper place to do certain things. Deshakala patra. And he mentions here that at these specific times, which have been described in the earlier verses, where there's the proper conjunction of the planets and so on, and the constellations, then these ritualistic activities like bathing in the holy places, or performing fire sacrifices, performing certain vows, worshipping the forefathers and the demigods and so on, or giving charity, is particularly beneficial. Now, many of these Varnashrama duties overall are intended for attaining what are called the four goals of life, the purusharthas. Purushartha means the goal of life. And generally, the Varnashrama dharma duties, they entail performance of certain ritualistic ceremonies. And by performing these ritualistic ceremonies, one can obtain these four goals of life. These are dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Dharma means mundane religiosity. Artha means economic development. Kama means sense gratification. And moksha means salvation. So, they go in a sequence. One performs mundane religiosity for the sake of artha, to obtain some money and economic benefits. Why does one want money and so on? For the sake of karma, for sense gratification. Because money by and of itself is of no use unless it can purchase something that I think valuable. And because I think sense gratification is valuable, therefore money is important for me. So then with the artha or wealth, one obtains karma, sense gratification. After performing sense gratification for many years in a particular life, one should understand that it is futile. And therefore one wants to transcend that and attain salvation. That's moksha. So generally, this is the jurisdiction of the Varnashrama system. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. These are the four Purusharthas. But Srila Prabhupada has explained elsewhere that there is a fifth Purushartha, Panchama Purushartha, the fifth goal of life, which is actually the ultimate goal of life. And that is Krishna Prema or Bhakti. The Bhakti is the Panchama Purushartha. Mahaprabhu has also said, Prema Pumartho Mahan. Prema is the ultimate goal of life. So generally, those who are not Krishna conscious are urged to at least perform the duties of the Varnashrama system. The idea being that by gradually performing these ritualistic ceremonies, eventually, sooner or later, in this life or in a future life, one will come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And if one is already in Krishna consciousness, then actually there is not much need for performing these ritualistic activities. One goes beyond that. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna explains to Uddhava a very important point. He says, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata mat katha shravanadauva shraddha yavanna jayate. It's an important verse. This tells us till what point in time the performance of the Varnashrama duties is applicable, or it should be done. It should be done till nirvidyeta yavata, till one has developed complete detachment from worldly pleasures and enjoyment, from sense gratification. And number two, mat katha shravanadova shraddha yavanna jayate. Till such time as one has not developed pure attraction, spontaneous attraction for hearing and the glories of Krishna. When one develops staunch faith in the process of hearing and chanting about the Lord, and when one develops complete detachment from sense gratification, then one is no longer obliged to follow the rules and regulations of the Varnashrama system. Of course, Lord Krishna is speaking about a very elevated platform here, a platform where we have spontaneous love for the Lord. We have very staunch faith in the process of hearing and chanting exclusively, which means we don't have faith in other things of this world. We don't even worry about the process of elevation to the heavenly planets and the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, which form a substantial part of the Varnashrama duties. So even though these things are mentioned in the Vedas, the devotee who has developed spontaneous attachment to Krishna doesn't bother about these sections of the Vedas. Therefore, Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvastho Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. He says, O Arjuna, these Vedas, the flowery words of the Vedas, they only deal with the three modes of material nature. But you should transcend them. So even though these are the words of the Vedas, but they essentially keep us bound in the cycle of birth and death. So Arjuna, transcend these three modes of nature. Transcend the injunctions of the Karma Kanda. Don't be captivated by the flowery words of the Vedas and go beyond. Niryoga Kshema Atmaman, Sattvastha, become situated in transcendental, on the transcendental platform. So this is Krishna's message to Arjuna. And then later on in the second chapter, he also says, Yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyatitarishyati tadagantasi nirvedam shotavyasya shutasya cha. He says that for one who is, whose intelligence has surpassed vyatitarishyati, the flowery words of the Vedas, which actually are like a dense forest of delusion, moha kalilam. Moha means delusion and kalila means a forest. So these flowery words of the Vedas, which actually afford us opportunities for many types of worldly pleasure, are nothing but a dense forest of delusion because they keep us bound in the cycle of birth and death. But Krishna says, when one's intelligence surpasses that, tadagantasi nirvedam, then one becomes callous to these injunctions. Shotavyasya shutasya cha, to all that is to be heard and all that is heard now. In other words, all these flowery words of the Vedas. And then one only wants Krishna. So one may think that if these injunctions are mentioned in the scripture, and we are talking about giving up these injunctions, then aren't we disobeying the Lord? Aren't we going against His order? So the acharyas have explained that it is permissible to give up the order at a lower level to accept a higher order. Because both the orders are the orders of the Lord. One gives up the orders that pertain to obtaining worldly pleasures because it is meant for those people who want worldly pleasures. And giving up those orders of the Lord, or those injunctions, we obtain, or rather we accept other orders of the Lord that pertain to detachment from sense gratification and those that help us develop attachment for Krishna. So there is no fault there. On the contrary, this is the perfection. If we are able to transcend the material realm and develop attachment for Krishna, that is the perfection of following all the orders of the Lord. That is the essence of Krishna's instructions in all the scriptures. So, a great devotee like Madhavendra Puri, who is certainly situated on the platform of transcendence, of spontaneous attraction to Krishna, he speaks this famous verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita purports. Anyone knows that verse? It's a long verse, but very beautiful verse. Sandhya Vandanam Bhadramastu Bhavato Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo. Madhavendra Puri says, Oh my dear Sandhya Vandana, you know the Brahmanas perform their Gayatri mantras 3 times a day at Sandhya. Sandhya is the time, the conjunction of the different times, the night with the day. So we perform our Gayatri mantras at that time, at dawn. Then at noon, when we are moving in from the morning to the evening, there's a conjunction. And then again from the evening to night. So the 3 Sandhyas. So the traditional caste Brahmanas, they will chant their Sandhya Vandana. Sandhya Vandana means prayers chanted at the Sandhya time. So they will do their Gayatri mantras and so on. Sandhya Vandana Bhadramastu Bhavato. Oh, all glories to you, O Sandhya Vandana, but I'm sorry, I don't have time for you. Bho Deva Pitarascha Tarpano Vidhau Naham Kshamaha Kshamyatam. O Deva, O demigods, O Pitra, O forefathers, please excuse me, Kshamaha Kshamyatam. I have no time to offer prayers to you. I am supposed to perform worship of you and offer prayers to you at certain prescribed times of the day, as is mentioned here. But I'm sorry, I can't do that. I don't have the time for that. Yatra kvapi nishadya yadava kulottamasya kamsadvishah smaram smaram agam harami tad alamkim annename. So he says, ever since I have started remembering, smaram smaram, I'm always remembering yadava kulottamasya kamsadvishah, the crest jewel of the Yadu dynasty, who is the enemy of Kamsa, then I think this is sufficient for me. What need is there for me to accept any other injunctions, any other rules and regulations? The fact that I'm constantly remembering Krishna with love is sufficient for me. That's the only rule and regulation that's of value to me. All other rules and regulations, they are of no use. And this indeed is what the scripture says. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavyo no jatuchit sarvvidhi nishedha syur etayor eva kinkaraha. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. All the other rules of the scriptures are simply servant to these 2 fundamental rules. So all these other rules which have consideration of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness, which are according to time, place, circumstance, many, many different categories of rules and regulations, are all intended to eventually bring us to the point of always remembering Krishna with love and devotion. And since Madhavendra Puri had already reached that point, he was quite justified in making the prayer that he did, that this remembrance of Krishna is sufficient for me. Tad alam manye. Kim anyena me, why do I need to have any other rules and regulations? So this is the beauty of the path of Krishna consciousness. Now the question arises, it's okay for those who don't have faith in Krishna. They will follow the regular duties of karmakanda and the varnashrama duties and so on. And it's another thing for exalted devotees like Madhavendra Puri, who already have spontaneous attachment for Krishna. What about those like us who are in between? So yes, we don't have spontaneous attachment for Krishna. We may not be on the platform of Madhavendra Puri, but we have some attachment, something. Some attraction is there. We want to develop very, very strong attachment for Krishna. It's a strong desire. Even though we may not be pure devotees, but we are on the path of pure devotion. We are trying to surrender to Krishna. And therefore, many times, Prabhupada referred to his disciples and pointed to them and said, they are pure devotees. He didn't mean that they are situated on the platform of Krishna Prema beyond Bhava. What he intended to say was that they are surrendered to Krishna. And because of that, they are situated on the path of pure devotion. So their life is perfect. So for us, yes, we cannot imitate Madhavendra Puri. At the same time, we also don't want to perform so many rules and regulations that have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So as I mentioned in a previous class, that we, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, that we take from these rituals and these rules and regulations those that are conducive to or favorable for our bhakti, or at the most those which are not opposed to our bhakti. For example, a brahmachari has to follow certain rules. We should do it. We shouldn't say, I'm a devotee and therefore it doesn't matter. We should follow certain rules. But there may be certain other rules which are not practical to follow in this age, which were meant especially for those days. Similarly, in the Grihastha ashram, last time we were talking about how we should go out of the house and ask if there is anyone hungry. But practically, literally following that is a difficult task, but one follows the spirit of it. One may worship one's, do some Shraddha ceremony for one's forefathers, like Haridas Thakur was invited by Advaita Acharya for the ceremony, but we Krishnaize it. Srila Prabhupada said how the Shraddha ceremony should be Krishnaized, because one should invite devotees home. One should have hearing and chanting about Krishna, and one should distribute Krishna prasadam, and that becomes first-class Shraddha, Prabhupada said. And in the purport here also, Srila Prabhupada mentions, he quotes from Jiva Goswami to say, that all the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Shastras must be preceded and followed by Sankirtana. So this is how a devotee would reconcile the rules and regulations of the Varnashram on one hand and the principles of Krishna consciousness on the other hand. So we Krishnaize those selected activities from the Varnashram rules and regulations. And in this way we make advancement in our spiritual life. Today also happens to be the appearance day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So I'd like to speak a few words about him as well, because he is a very important acharya for us. Vrindavan Das Thakur is considered the original biographer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Murari Gupta wrote his Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya some years before he did, but nevertheless, he is considered the Vyasadev of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. In fact, Kaviraj Goswami says this, just as Vyasadev narrated Krishna's pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vrindavan Das Thakur has narrated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. There is a famous book called Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, which is written by an acharya called Kavi Karnapur, the son of Shivananda Sen. And in this book, you will find the Vrindavan identities of the associates of Mahaprabhu. Each of the associates of Mahaprabhu, who were they in Krishna Leela? That's mentioned. So who was Vrindavan Das Thakur? He was Vyasadev. And Kavi Karnapur mentions that in him also entered a cowherd boyfriend of Krishna whose name was Kusumapeed. So he's a joint incarnation. This is something that is very common in the eternal associates of the Lord, or those who participate intimately in Krishna's pastimes. These personalities are often joint incarnations, where one personality enters into another for the sake of participating in that pastime. Vrindavan Das Thakur's mother was very famous as a devotee. Her name was, anyone remembers? The mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, Narayani, yes. And she was especially famous because at the age of 4, Mahaprabhu gave her Krishna Prema. She was actually the daughter of the elder brother of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur's, Sri Nalina Pandit was an elder brother of Srivas Thakur, and Narayani was his daughter. And when she was only 4 years old, she happened to be present at the Mahaprakash Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he sat on the throne of Vishnu and manifested his godhood, and he began to offer benedictions to the devotees and fulfill all their desires. And little Narayani happened to be there. And then Mahaprabhu told her, Narayani, chant Krishna, Krishna. And she chanted Krishna in great ecstasy. And all the symptoms of devotional ecstasy actually manifested in her person. And she collapsed to the ground, not able to bear the ecstasy of chanting Krishna's names. And everyone was struck with wonder to see this one, the act, the devotion of Narayani and the mercy that she received from Mahaprabhu. So Vrindavan Das Thakur was the same, the son of the same Narayani. Narayani herself was like a nurse of Krishna in Vrindavan. That's also mentioned by Kavi Karnapur. So a very illustrious parentage. Not much is known about his father. And his father died early, and so he shifted with his mother back to Srivas Thakur's home. In those days there were joint families. So young Vrindavan Das Thakur came and lived with Srivas Thakur. Actually, he was born about 4 years after Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So when Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, Vrindavan Das Thakur must have been not more than 20 years old. But he also received the mercy of the Lord. His Chaitanya Bhagavat was written well over 40 years before Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Originally, the Chaitanya Bhagavat was titled Chaitanya Mangala. But soon after that, Lochan Das Thakur wrote another book glorifying Mahaprabhu, which was also called Chaitanya Mangal. So now there were two Chaitanya Mangals. So in order to avoid confusion, the devotees, they changed the name of Vrindavan Das Thakur's book from Chaitanya Mangal to Chaitanya Bhagavat. There were no copyright issues in those days, you know. Life was much simpler. So in any case, then it became known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. But in many of the verses, you will find Chaitanya Bhagavat still referred to as Chaitanya Mangala. And Kaviraj Goswami has glorified Vrindavan Das Thakur and the Chaitanya Bhagavat like anything. Repeatedly in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he really glorifies him a lot. And he says, I am simply chewing the remnants that have been left behind by Vrindavan Das Thakur. How could I dare to even do what the great Vrindavan Das Thakur has done? He is the original Vyasa for Mahaprabhu's pastimes. I am simply following in his footsteps. I am trying to narrate those pastimes that Vrindavan Das Thakur either omitted or very briefly mentioned. The Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is a masterly work, very sweet and full of devotion, describes in great detail the childhood pastimes of Mahaprabhu and the pastimes in his pre-youth. But by the time Vrindavan Das Thakur reached this stage, he came into the description of the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. And he's especially close to Nityananda Prabhu. So he got so involved describing the pastimes of Lord Nityananda that the book became very voluminous. So he feared making the book even more voluminous, so he summarized the subsequent pastimes of Mahaprabhu in brief. So therefore we find that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the description of Mahaprabhu's earlier pastimes are in great detail, and the later pastimes, he has either omitted some of them or stated them in brief. And it is these pastimes that the Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita has spoken about in great detail. And the childhood pastimes and so on, Kaviraj Goswami has spoken about only in the passing, very, very briefly, and said that such pastimes have been described in detail by Vrindavan Das Thakur, so I will not speak about them more now. Kaviraj Goswami says that the Chaitanya Bhagavat is such a glorious work that even if an atheist or a Muslim reads it, he will become the topmost devotee of the Lord. So such are the glories of this great work. Vrindavan Das Thakur has narrated all these wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And our acharyas recommend that we must hear these pastimes regularly, because then it will be very easy for us to develop devotion for the Lord. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur ki jai. So we'll stop here. It's almost 8:30. We'll have some questions or comments, if any, for a few minutes.